Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Appreciate the guys singing there and enduring with me. And glad to have James back leading singing this week. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 to start. We're actually going to be in 2 Corinthians most of the time today. But I want to be in 1 Corinthians to start chapter 16. And I want to talk about a subject today that preachers are scared to death to talk about. Matter of fact, I was scared to death to talk about it a little bit until the Lord gave some victory. But it's a topic that we often, as a matter of fact, it's one of those days when you're kind of praying, man, I kind of hope there's no visitors today because I don't want them to think this is all we talk about. But today we're going to talk about the subject of giving. We are giving to an offering this morning at the end of this service. We're going to be giving an offering to our missionaries. And I believe it's in a good time to talk about why do we give. But I believe it also fits and ties perfectly with our sermon series that we just finished on a devotional life. If you think about it, we talked for 5 weeks about having a devotional life and being devoted to Jesus Christ. If you remember, that word devotion literally means an enthusiasm for Jesus Christ. There's people enthusiastic for their teams and they're enthusiastic for causes, and some people will give towards causes. There's maybe some of you have given towards cancer research and cancer things like that. You're enthusiastic about it, and that's great. Some of you've given towards teams because you're enthusiastic, so you'll go watch a team and you'll give them money and you'll go watch a team play and you'll cheer for them. By the way, did anybody realize that the Cubs made the World Series? I just had to throw it in. But we give because we're enthusiastic towards things like that. But today we're going to talk about giving in the local church. It's a scary thing to talk about. Matter of fact, I heard about two guys that were stranded on an island. Did you hear about these guys? Boy, that one guy, he was just pacing back and forth, and he was scared, he was worried, he was frightened, and the other man was just sitting back and relaxing the whole time. He was kind of whistling, he was sunning and on the beach there while they're stranded. And the first man said, "Aren't you afraid that we're going to die here? We're stranded on this island." Second guy's relaxed, he said, "No, we'll be fine." And the first guy's afraid, he said, "How can you be so sure we're going to be fine? It doesn't make sense, we're stranded." He says, Second guy says, "Well, I make $100,000 a month, so we'll be fine." That first guy said, "What do you mean you make $100,000 a month? That doesn't mean anything if we're stranded on this island. That's no big deal." He said, No. "I make $100,000 a month, and I tithe every week to my church." He said, "My pastor will find me. He knows where I'm. He'll find me." So I thought I'd throw that in there. And that joke is kind of shows a little bit of why a humor, of why there's an awkwardness and whenever the topic of giving is discussed at church. I remember one young man, he's my age, so I like to think of myself as young, I guess, but when I had a ministry in Michigan in basketball, and I was inviting him to church, and he would come to play basketball, and he struggled with coming to church, and he said, "Because I used to go to church in Arizona, and that pastor would always talk about giving. That's all he would talk about, so I'm never going back to that church, and it's hard for me to go to church. It's all you guys talk about." Well, I think if you've been here for 3 years, you know that that's not all I talk about, but I do believe it was a lot of what Jesus Christ talked about. Matter of fact, if you look in the parables, a majority of the parables deal with some sort of money in some way. Jesus was the one that said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so I want to talk today about giving and why are we taking this offering at the end of the service? Why do we give to missions? How do we give to missions? Why do we give to the church and things like this? What is it behind it? Because I believe that though the topic may be scary and taboo in church, the truth of the matter is it's a matter of our heart. And if you've studied and you've watched me for 3 years, you know that I am all about, if our heart is right with God, the outward's going to follow. And so you'll see even in this message, in the key text that deals with giving in the Bible, it starts with our hearts. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then let's get into this text. Father, we love you, and we thank you for redeeming us, as that song just sang. And Lord, today I pray that you'd work in our hearts. And Lord, I believe that this subject, though feared by some that listen and feared by some preachers, I believe it's a topic that if not preached, we're not obeying the Bible. I pray that you would help us with this. Lord, I pray for wisdom. Help me to speak only what you would have me to say. And I pray that you challenge our church, that we would be a people that love you and give of whatever you want, whether it be our life, our finances, our time, whatever. May we give of that to you because of all that you've given to us. We love you, Lord, and thank you for first loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is where we're just going to start, but I wanted to start here because this is a year prior to where our text is actually going to be. And so Paul had come to and written to the church of Corinth and had been in Corinth. And if you've been on our Sunday night services, we've been studying the book of Acts. And back around Acts chapter number 10, Paul was in Corinth. And he started a church in Corinth. And he was writing to this church in Corinth. But here he says to them in chapter 16, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, the offering for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." He said, "I've already been to the churches of Galatia, and I've instructed them about their giving, and I'm going to give you some instruction about giving." He says, "Upon the first day of the week." When's the first day of the week? Sunday, when we meet together. He says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve of by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." He says, so okay, here's what's going to happen. Upon the first day of the week, let everybody takes part in it, you lay a store and you give towards these offerings. And he says, at the right time and how they use their offerings, the purpose of them then, he says, "I will send somebody." You know, here's what's going to happen in a couple days. Whenever we give this later offering we're going to take to the missionaries of Ralston's, I'll either go online and click a button, or I'll put it in the mail and we'll send it, and it'll go in an airplane and get over there in a couple days. Here, Paul had to send somebody. Titus was the one. And he would go and he'd collect the offering, and then he would have to carry it to the place that it was going. It took a little bit of time and a lot of risk because people would often attack you on those roads. Just look at that parable of the Good Samaritan that was given. Everybody understood that. And so this offering, he says, "I'm going to encourage you to do this upon the first day of the week. Let everyone you lay inside as God hath prospered him, and give towards this the offering and the needs." And so that was a year. Now, that's not our text, but Paul had given him this instruction. And the church was all on board, and they said, "All right, let's do it, let's give, and this is exciting." And all of a sudden, in 2 Corinthians, false teachers came in. And false teachers started to criticize the Apostle Paul, who started the church at Corinth. And the church at Corinth looked up to the Apostle Paul, and he started the church. He led some of them to the Lord. Remember, Cornelius was a part of this church. If you would come on Sunday nights and you're in our Acts study. I mean, so they were surprised by what some of the news they heard about Paul. And these false teachers came in and they were saying stuff like, "Well, Paul's motives are wrong. You know, Paul's just trying to, he's doing this for publicity, he's doing this for fame, he's doing this for your money, and Paul doesn't really care about you, Paul's not doing this." And all of a sudden the church at Corinth started to get concerned, and they stopped giving. And so now go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and then we're going to pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. It's been a full year. The book of 2 Corinthians, now the teacher in me wants to teach about the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'll be careful in that part, but the book of 2 Corinthians spends a lot of time of Paul defending himself. A lot of times we'll hear arguments saying you don't need to defend yourself, let God defend you, but Paul was just stating because of his ministry, "Listen, here is my motives. You have seen that I've done nothing but preach Christ. My motives have been nothing to encourage you." And Paul is defending himself. But then when he gets to chapter 8 and 9, he's saying to this church, "Listen, I know that you've stopped in your giving towards this church of Jerusalem." And he's going to give them some instruction. He's going to encourage them. He's not giving them by commandment, you'll see, and he says that. But he's going to encourage them to get back to the joy of giving. And look at what he says in chapter number 8, verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So here's how he's going to do. I'm going to give you some thoughts here. When he's talking to them, because their giving had slacked, and he's writing to them and he says to the church, he says, "Listen, I'm going to first start. I'm going to just give you an example of the churches of Macedonia." Now, just giving you some context up front, the churches of Macedonia would have been Philippi, which I'm going to say this now because I just like this point. I'll get to it in a second. You know the church of Philippi? Remember God? You ever heard this verse before? It says, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ." You remember that verse? Man, we all like that verse. When you're in a need and you got a bill to be paid, you're like, "All right, my God shall supply all my needs." Do you know that God gave that promise to the church of Philippi who had been faithfully giving towards the work? And based on their, and look at in Philippians chapter number 4, based on their faithful giving, that's one of the churches he's talking about today that he's showing the church of Corinth. Say, look at what God's done in this church. One of those churches was Philippi, whom got that promise and said, hey, Paul said, hey, listen, church of Philippi, I know you've been given to the work and given to missions. What? He said, my God will supply all your needs. He'll take care of you. And that was the church. Now, that was one. So he says the churches of Macedonia. So it was the church of Philippi, the church of Galatia, the church in Galatians, and it was the church of Berea, which we don't see much epistle to them, but the churches in Berea. Those are the ones that Paul had started in the northern part of Macedonia area, and they're the ones that were, they were faithful in giving, and they were seeing God bless in an amazing way. And so Paul's writing the church of Corinth. He says, I want to show you what God's done through the church of Macedonia. And then watch what he says. He says, verse number 2, how that in great trial of affliction. Let me just stop right there for a second because the next part's good too. But he says, in great trial of affliction. Here, the churches of Macedonia, Philippi and Galatia and even the one in the Berea, those churches had been under great trial. Matter of fact, in Rome, if you were to go back into Acts chapter number 8, again, I keep referencing to our evening study if you come on Sunday nights, but in Acts chapter number 8, the church started to get persecuted. Remember Stephen in chapter 7 got killed? And so when Stephen got killed, the church began to spread like God had wanted them to spread to the uttermost part of the world. The church began to spread, and they were under some persecution. And in the time of this writing, they had been under great conflict from Rome. Rome was bringing heavy pressure on the church, and people like Saul had originally had one time been the guy that would come into churches and just wreck them apart and families and tear them apart if you were a Christian. So they were still under great affliction from the trials of people in Rome. And he says, still, even in their trials, he said, these churches, Macedonia, he says, Corinth, watch. He said, these churches of Macedonia, even though they're in a lot of pressure, they're still giving. Man, they're going through trials. They're going through difficult times, but they're still giving. But not only are they giving, but watch what he says. He says, they're still giving in their affliction. He says, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty. So he said they were giving in spite of their trials, and they were giving in spite of their poverty. He said they don't have anything. To be honest with you, he said these churches of Macedonia, they have great poverty. They're not loaded. They don't have great riches. They have great poverty, but even in their poverty, they're giving back to the work of the Lord. And they're giving from this poverty. You know, it reminds me of that widow. Remember the widow, the illustration Jesus gave in Matthew? There was that Pharisee that was so proud about all that he was giving. He's saying, look at what I give. And he's taking, as he said, hey guys, look at this. Hey, notice this, Lisa. I just put a $100 bill in here. Did you notice that? I didn't put a $100 bill in there. Everybody said, you notice that? And he's got that in that pride. Remember that widow came over with just the two mites? She put it in there. Boy, that was out of poverty, but she gave it all. Who was pleased? Which one was Jesus pleased with? The large amount or the one that gave from the heart? He was pleased with the one that gave from the heart. See, these Macedonian churches, Paul is not setting them up saying, I want you to see how these rich churches are doing it, and could you guys follow and give the same amount? It's not what he's saying. He's saying this. The Macedonian churches were in great trial, but they still gave. The Macedonian churches have great poverty, but they still gave. And then he goes on, he says, not only in spite of their poverty and in spite of their trials, but they gave in verse number 5, it says, and this they did, verse number 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. He says, not only did they give in spite of poverty and trial, but they gave beyond their ability. He said, these people couldn't, realistically, these people could not give. But they still gave beyond what they were even able to. That's the type of giving that these churches in Macedonia were doing. And God was blessing. Now watch. Let me tell you about the three types. Let me break off from just a second from the text and tell you about the offerings at our church for a second. There's three types of offerings we basically take that people give to. There's the regular offering. Sometimes it's called the tithe. The regular offering, and when it's marked that way, you know what it basically goes to? Some people, to be honest with you, don't know this. We go through discipleship, we talk about the basic offering just goes to the functioning of the church. The lights have to be on, do they not? Yes, so we give the basic tithe that's given. The tithe, there's a debate on this. The basic number a lot of people start at is about 10%. I would almost argue in the Bible, in the New Testament, he doesn't tell us we have to. And if you go to the Old Testament, they actually give about 33%. But a tithe is about 10% where they start. So a lot of people, they use that number, the tithe means the tenth, to kind of set a goal for them that, you know what, I'm going to start at about the tenth of what I bring in, and I'm going to give that back towards the Lord's work. And that tithe or that giving goes towards the functioning of the church. Is that not important? It is. It helps in the keeping of the church to go. And Paul understood that. But that's one type of giving, and that's an important type of giving in our church. But there's another type called missions, and that's what we've been emphasizing this month. Missions, we call it faith promise giving, and really this text is teaching on this type of giving, the faith promise giving. Here's what it is. When I give back to the Lord's work, I give my tithe first of the first fruits, and the Old Testament taught that, and the first fruits I give to that. But then above that, we give towards missions. My wife and I have to determine what are we going to give towards missions. We basically know, we try to follow basic principle in tithing, what we're going to give, but we talk about and pray about, and we'll put cards out. I meant to put them this week, but I haven't. And we'll talk about what are we going to give towards missions this year. And in a church, we give by faith. And that's what this verse, beyond their ability, means. I've already given 10%, I've already given a basic amount, or what, maybe it's more than that, or maybe it's less. But I'm giving towards the functioning of the church. But now I'm going to give beyond that, even beyond my ability. I don't even know how it's going to work, but I'm going to give towards missions by faith, believing God, you're going to provide. And that's when our church, we have an offering called our missions, and people give towards missions. You know where all that money goes? To missions. Doesn't go. You know where all your money you're going to give today and the next offering goes? To the missionary, to the Ralstons. And why do we give towards missions? Because the Bible tells us that we're to reach the whole world with the gospel. I don't know about you, but I didn't have time to get to the whole world this week, did you? I don't know about you, but in 34 years, I haven't had time or the money to get to the whole world. But I do have missionaries. We have missionaries in Thailand and Honduras and Wales. We have missionaries all around that are getting the gospel out. And you know what? I can give so that they can go. And we can reach people. And that's what this offering was often about. It was beyond their ability. So we have the regular offering that helps the functioning of the church. Then we have the missions that goes above that. And by the way, I don't say to my wife, hey, you know what, let's give a little bit more to missions, so cut some of that tithe. We don't do that. We give beyond our ability. It's what they said here. They gave beyond what they were able to do, beyond their power, and they gave towards missions. And that goes to our missionaries. Then a third offering is what I call what we're going to do today, like our love offering, or it's our special offering. Those are the three types we do in our church. It's a love offering or a special offering that goes for a specific cause. On Wednesday nights, we almost take 1 week on Wednesday night because that all goes towards the bus ministry and helping reach kids and put gas in the bus so we can go pick up kids. But those are special love offerings that go for a specific cause. Those are the basic three in our church. The reason I say that is because even recently talking with a couple, they were telling me about where they came from. And in that place, when you became a member, then all of a sudden they send you a bill or say, you know what, you're responsible to pay this bill. You're responsible to pay this bill. That's not how we do it here. Matter of fact, that's why I love preaching. Like, I don't love preaching giving. It's the first time in probably 3 years. But here's why. I don't have a clue unless you've told me in this room who gives and who doesn't. And you know what? I don't want to know. You can ask the deacons. Every deacon, when I got here, I told him, I said, I don't want to know who gives. Because if I preach this message and know, I'm going to be saying, hey, I know that Erica McClure, she doesn't give, so I'm going to preach right at her. Man, I'm going to stand right here the whole time saying, some of you really need to give. I'm not going to do that. Because I know where she gets her money, but I'm really not going to do that. Just kidding. But you know what? That gives me a liberty to say, listen, as a church family, I'm going to get to the reasons why. I'm just giving you the basics right now. But he said, these churches in Macedonia, they were in trials. Man, difficult times. But they said, we want to give to the Lord's work. And I'm going to show you why in a second. They were in great poverty. Well, now you think, just kind of hold. But they said, you know what? We still want to give to the Lord's work. And they gave beyond their ability. They said, you know what? I know not only the basics to keep our local church going, but I'm going to give beyond that to missions and give beyond that to even some special offerings. Why are you guys doing this? And that's what I want to show you next. I'm going to show you some verses right here to say, why would they do this? Why spend time and why spend your money that you earn? I think there's a truth that it's not really ours. It's all God. But why spend that money? Let me show you a few three things. Number one, they did it because they understood God's grace. Look at verse number 9. Paul's writing to them. He says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty may be rich. Number one reason he says why we ought to give and why we ought to be motivated to give is because he says, listen, because of what Jesus Christ and his grace and what he's done for us. He said Jesus was rich. He's God. He's in heaven, the glories of heaven. And he left everything and came to this earth and in his poverty, born in a stable, born of a virgin, and raised struggling. And the reason he did all of this is so that you and I could be rich toward God and we could spend eternity in heaven. And he said the grace of God ought to motivate us. You know, there's really three motivations. There's guilt. Boy, and I think if you come here recently, you know, or in 3 years, you know that I'm not a guilt-stricken type of pastor, but there's guilt, and boy, you could really just guilt people into giving, and you could say, I can't believe you're not, if you're not doing this, you're not walking with God, you're just, and just really lay it on heavy. You ever been to one of those old camp meetings? I've been to one when I was younger, and it kind of scared me a little bit, but I mean, they took the offering. They didn't get what they wanted. He said, hey, we didn't get what we wanted, let's take it again. And I think they went through five times. And because they didn't get what they wanted. And it was tense. I mean, it was tense. I'm sitting there going, I don't even have any. I'm like a kid. I'm a teenager. I'm like, I don't have anything. This preacher's yelling at me. And I don't have anything. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I know, listen, I know in the South, I know there's some places they do that. And if you come to a place they do that, that's fine. But to me, I don't think guilt is a good way to get, is a good motivation. There's a second one. It's called greed. You say, what's greed? Well, greed is this. Greed is actually sounds biblical because it's, well, if I give, then God's going to give back to me. Because is that a biblical principle? Matter of fact, to prove it to you, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number 6. Chapter 9, verse 6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, still talking about money, shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He says, hey, concerning this giving, if you're going to give just a little bit, you're going to give back a little bit. If you're going to give a lot, you're going to receive a lot. You remember in the Philippians chapter number 4, verse 19, when he says, but my God shall supply all your needs. That's in context of saying, because you've given, God will take care of your needs. We see this principle, even if you go back to the Old Testament in Proverbs, where God says, you give, I'll take care of you. But let me tell you this, it's still a bad motivation. If you say, you know what, Pastor Brad, I give every week, because I want God to take care of me. It's bad motivation. It will happen. God will take care of you because God won't go against his promise. But it's not, that's not, God didn't give that to us as a something that motivates us to give. God gave us that promise to encourage us to say, hey, I'll take care of you. So what is the greatest motivation then? The greatest motivation is the grace of God. The greatest motivation is to realize, God, you've given everything for me. I want to give to keep your work going. God, I want to give to help those missionaries on the field so that they can reach people for the gospel. Because God, now think about this in context of what we've been talking about devotion. God, I love you with all my heart. I'm devoted to you. So God, what do you want? You want to see people saved? I'm going to give to help that. If we're so devoted to God, if he said that he wanted, I'm going to use an extreme illustration, all right? If God said, I want to see research done to create frogs with blue spots. You know what? I'm going to give money to see frogs created with blue spots if that's what God wanted. Why? Because I'm devoted to him. That's not what God cares about. You know what God cares about? Reaching people with the gospel. Helping people to grow in their faith. And what? How do we do that? Through missions and the local church. So God says, listen, don't give out of guilt. Don't even give out of greed, although I'll take care of you. He said the motivation ought to be, God, you've been so good to me. God, you've given everything for me. I want to help and give back towards you. Matter of fact, God, this is your money. You're the one that gave me the job to have this money. You're the one that has provided these things for me. So God, it's already yours, so I'm going to give some back to continue the work. That's God, why I'm going to give. But notice, I'm going to stop for a second, go back over to 2 Corinthians. Notice chapter number 9, verse 7. Notice what else he says. He says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. There's the wrong motivations out of guilt or, well, I have to do this. Now here's what, this could be a temptation, this next offering, all right? Now, I think we ought to just take the offering with our eyes closed and try to pass that plate, all right, so we don't scare anybody. But here's what it could be. Our ushers come down through that aisle, and we're going, oh, man, Pastor just preached on giving. Where's my wallet? Honey, do you got any money? Get any cash? Let's just throw it in. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not preaching this message so that you can be guilted into anything. I promise you that. Just pass it up. I told Mike and them, during the offering, I tried to look up or look at my Bible so no one's thinking pastor's watching to see who's giving, who's not. I could care less about that. The idea is this. So God says, don't give out of grudgingly or necessity. He says, what's he say next? He says, we give of a cheerful heart. It ought to be that when we get the opportunity to give towards the work of God, whether it be of whether it be of just the everyday functions of the church. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad there's heat today. It's chilly. How about you? I'm kind of glad there's lights because I wouldn't be able to see. Now, one of the biggest faults in giving, my wife and I try to consistently give to missions and consistently give to the church, base part of what we make, and try to follow what we preach, what the Bible teaches. But you know what? To be honest with you, where I fail the most is this one. Just to be honest, I don't even know when she gives and when she doesn't. I don't even really think about it. So you know what one of my faults is? I don't always give cheerfully. I just give. And I was a teenager, got my first job. My parents taught me, you get your first job, you take part of it, and you give it back to the Lord. I've just always done it. I didn't do missions until I got to college. I remember my first experience with that was they were taking a special offering, a Christmas offering, and I had $115 left to get me another week to I got home for break. But God put on my heart that I should give $100. And at first I went, nope, I only got $115. I'm not going to give $100. I was a teenager. That's what I thought. So I didn't give it. Went to the next service. They talked about the Christmas offering. God put it on my heart again. You need to give $100. I thought, it's not going to work. I only got $15. I didn't do it. Next week, next service, we had another one. They talked about the Christmas offering, and I'd come prepared that time because during the time, God had worked in my heart, and so I brought $100. I was like, well, maybe I'll give it, maybe I won't. No one knows, so I don't know anybody at this big school, 6,000 people. But God knew. He was working in my heart. And in my heart, I wanted to give towards this Christmas project. I thought it was awesome, but I was scared. I was fearful. But I gave it. So it was over. I really didn't think anything about it. I gave it. I was excited. I did give cheerfully. I didn't dance and everything, but I was cheerful. I was excited. I gave and went throughout the day. And the next day, went into they have a little place where your locker is. And I went to, and I opened it, or excuse me, where your mailbox is. And I opened up and I had a card. And I opened up, it was for my grandma. And it was a week early. It was for $200. And she said, this is for your birthday. I just wanted to send it to you early. Maybe it'll help you at the end of the semester. You know what that was? That was God sitting up there looking at me, wrestling with that, saying, if you would just give this, you got $200 coming. Just give it. Just give it. Your grandma's going to take care of you. Just give it. But you know what it was? It was a test in my heart saying, will I obey when God prompts my heart? And I gave cheerfully that time. After rejecting it twice, I gave cheerfully, and God gave back. Now, Pastor, so some of you right now are saying, okay, now, where's my wallet? Honey, give me $100. We're going to make $200 this week if we give to this offering. No, that's not how it is. And I'm going to tell you what, there's been other times I've given to projects, and it's not double. I gave you one illustration, but I'm going to be honest with you. More times than not, it's not doubled that I recognized it like that. So let me just be honest. But I'm going to tell you this. My wife and I have been married 12 years. Let me get that right. 12 years. God is always taking care of us. Always. Are we rich? Compared to some countries, yes, but no. But God is always taking care of us. Has my motivation always been out of grace? No, to be honest with you, I sit here during the offering, I'm more concerned about not looking at you than I am about, hey, I'm giving towards God's work. I don't always think about that, unfortunately. But I would say this, God has always taken care of us. You see, they were concerned, they understood God's grace, and it motivated them. But number two, here's another reason. Why would they give in poverty? Why would they give in trials? Why would they give beyond what they even could? Why do this? Well, number one, because they understood God's grace, verse number nine. But number two, because they had surrendered hearts. Look at verse number five. And this they did, not as we'd hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. You see, the reason why they were able to give financially is because their hearts were already surrendered to God. If your heart's not surrendered to God, you're going to struggle with this message, and you're never going to want to give. Because if your heart's not surrendered, it's not going to come. It's basically my two messages on surrender and adoration. Remember adoration I talked about a few weeks ago? When there's something boiling up inside of you, a love for God, it wants to come out. And so when you are so overwhelmed with God's goodness and God's grace and who He is, and you are surrendered to Him, say, God, whatever you want me to do, you can't help but say, what can I give to? How can I be a blessing? How can I help? What are some ways that I can give? But when our hearts are not surrendered to God and when there's not that devotion to Him, to be honest, we think, I'm going to share honestly from my own perspective, we think selfishly. We think, well, I need that money to help me. I need this money for me, me, me. And what happens is I'm the sinner instead of Jesus. What does the Bible say? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him first, what? Deny himself. When I'm stingy with my money, my wife's the giver in our family. Not talking about this type of offering, man. She's the giver. She'll look at me. If there's a need, she'll say, hey, can we help and can we give this? One time when we were in Michigan, she wanted to buy someone an iPad. And so she's like, should we buy him an iPad? I said, buy him an iPad? Are you crazy, woman? What, you lost your mind? Guess what? We bought him an iPad. We gave it to him. You know what? When I followed that, though, it encouraged me. It helped me because we were helping somebody else. But you see, when you have that heart that's surrendered to God, saying, if God puts something on your heart, say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to help because we're devoted. They understood God's grace. They had surrendered hearts. And then look, number three is this. Final thought here. Why would they give when they were in poverty, when they were in trials, why would they do this? Well, number three, look at verse number four. It says, praying us. So this church of Macedonia, I know I've skipped around in some verses, but this church of Macedonia, they were praying us with much entreaty. It means they were begging us that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. These people were begging them to take the money. It's kind of picture if we came to the service today and we're singing and somebody's standing over going, hey, Pastor Brad. You ever been in that class? Someone's waiting. It's getting distracting. Imagine Bob McDowell standing there going like, Bob McDowell's going, hey, Brad, Pastor Brad. He's standing up during the service. And I finally said, hey, James, cut the singing. I said, what is it, Bob? He said, hey, can we just take the offering today? I said, Bob, we're going to take the offering. Can we just do it now? I just want to give something right now. I want to give it. Now, I've never been in a service when that happened. Matter of fact, I've seen some say, can we have to take an offering today? I mean, I've never seen someone interrupt the service and say, can we take an offering? But that's the idea behind these words they were entreating. They said, hey, can we take the offering? Can you give this gift? Take this gift. We want you to take this gift. You got to take this gift. You know why? Because not only did they understood the grace of God, they had a surrendered heart. But number three is this. They were passionate about God's work. They were passionate about it. They're saying, listen, I want to help the church. Boy, I want to help in the mission field. In this case, I want to help that church in Jerusalem. It was struggling. I want to help that church in Jerusalem. You know what? I want to get this people in the mission. I want to get that. I hope today when we show this video, and if the Lord puts on your heart to give some of this offering, I hope you're saying, you know what? We've got to get a building up in Honduras, Jerusalem. That'd be great too, but in Honduras. It's terrible that these people in Honduras have got to meet outside for different things. We've got to get them a building. Man, I'm going to give and give them a building. Let's help. It ought to be we're motivated. And I would say this. I know this is not for pastors to say. I would say this. If you can't give to our regular offering or special offerings with a joyful heart, then don't give. Don't give. Say, pastors shouldn't say that because that means that the church is going to... No, listen. Don't give. I would rather you not give, though it would be disobedience, but I'd rather you not give than to give out of guilt and never experience the joy of giving, to give cheerfully. Don't give. You say, well, Pastor Ray, what would happen if we don't give? You know what? God's still going to put, let me say this. Man, I'm getting sidetracked right now. I'm sorry. God's still going to get a building up in Honduras. There's still going to be a church building in Honduras. I just want to be a part of the blessing of it. Be honest with you. There's still going to be a building. Hey, this church is going to function forever whether or not people give. I just want to be a part of the blessing of it. I want to get me in. Paul said this to the church of Philippi. He said, I appreciate, I'm thankful for your gift. And he said, your gift, your money is going, and there's going to be fruit on your account. Do you know what? This is not the ultimate motivation, but when we give towards missions and this Honduras project, they get that church building up and they see people saved. You know what? That's fruit on our account. That's not the ultimate motivation. But Paul said there's going to be fruit on your account for giving. You see, they were motivated. They were passionate about God's work. And I'll be honest with you. I don't think every week when I don't even put it in because I'm sitting up here and my wife puts the offering in. I don't think every week, man, I'm excited about keeping the lights on this week at church. Man, I'm pumped up about running heat. I do think about running heat in the winter, but I mean, I don't think through that. But you know what I am passionate about? I say, Lord, I'm thankful that God gave us a church in this community that can reach people and help people to grow. And I'm glad I can help in whatever way I can. You see, giving, yeah, it's a scary thing to talk about to pastors. Boy, someone will leave mad. I don't think so. I think our church is understanding. Here's the thing about giving. The Bible said, someone said this. I'm going to give a quote, not the Bible. Someone said this. Giving should be the overflow of the heart by the unstinted grace of God. It ought just be that we are so overwhelmed with who God is and what He's done that we say, you know what, God, I want to give back to your work. Whatever I can do, I'm going to give back to it. Small or large, I'm going to give back to it. And I want to help in whatever way I can, Lord. How is your giving? Let's bow our heads for a second, close our eyes. I'm going to ask three questions. Number one is this: how's your giving? It's probably one of a few things in here. Some would say maybe I'm not giving and it's a matter of surrender. Say I'm not giving and it's simply because I'm not going to give up my things. Remember last week I preached on surrender. I said I was going to bring some things in. One of those things I was going to bring is my wallet. Well, some would say, you know what, I love God, but I'm not going to, I'm going to keep my stuff. And maybe we're not giving because of a matter of surrender. And maybe we're not giving as a matter of a lack of knowledge. Young Christians who come from different backgrounds, different churches say, I didn't even know I should. I don't know how. Maybe just a lack of knowledge. It's fine. Some, maybe you are giving, but it's out of guilt or it's out of duty. There's no joy in it. I'm telling you, if that's you, either one, I would just say maybe stop giving, or number two, most importantly, just stop for a second, think of all that Jesus Christ has done. Think about the work of the Lord. Do you want to see people saved? Do you want to see people grow? We can invest our money in a lot of things. We can put it towards more Starbucks or more McDonald's chicken nuggets or things like that, or we can put it towards God's work. If you know me, you know that in 3 years, I've never preached a full message on giving. I hope everyone in this invitation understands my heart. I hope you know I don't even know who gives and who doesn't. I hope you know that I'm not preaching this out of any motivation other than saying, let's just jump on board. Be excited about God's work and what God's